Greetings. It is so good to see you. At least, all the way up to about row 8. The backbenchers, unfortunately, I can't. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Do we dare speak of joy after this week? Perhaps the word joy can be spoken in Canada, but these are grim times in these deeply divided states of America. In a single week, the core institutions and legal protections put in place since the 1960s regarding race and in the decades since for gender and sexual orientation have been rolled back. Protections for public health, cancer research, and the climate, all of these are being rolled back. Data collection and tracking for bird flu has been stopped, just as the risk of animal-to-human transmission has become acute. Immigration and customs enforcement has tried to enter schools to deport children. Fascism is gearing up in full force in America, and it has been just 1 week. Do we dare speak of joy under such dire circumstances? Or is it obscene and unbecoming to speak of joy in an age of terror? Perhaps it is unseemly for an American preacher to bring the burden of the toxic politics of my nation to your Canadian pulpit. But I know this precious community. You are big-hearted and loving folk who care deeply about your American siblings. Also, you know that what happens in Vegas may stay in Vegas, but what happens in the rest of the U.S. does not. During COVID, we saw that the border cannot halt diseases of the body, and the border between us is utterly powerless to arrest diseases of the spirit. Xenophobia, the coarsening of attitudes towards immigrants, us versus them, division-stoking politicians, the climate crisis, homelessness, and housing scarcity, these are not problems confined to the United States. Under such circumstances, should we be joyful? Do we dare be joyful when so many suffer? These are exigent questions for Canadian Christians as much as they are for Americans. Within this context of political, economic, and ecological upheaval, we encounter our reading from the book of Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah are one book in the ancient Greek manuscripts. And that book, Ezra-Nehemiah, tells of the return of the Jews from Babylonian exile under the reign of King Cyrus. The people return, rebuild the walls and the temple, and then in this culminating moment, they are read the Torah, the first 5 books of Moses. Why should this strike the listeners so hard? We do not know. Perhaps the Torah was kept in tighter circulation in the hands of the elites and the priests. Or perhaps access to the Torah was limited by the realities of exile. The result of the reading, though, is that the people weep. We are not told what kind of weeping it is. But Ezra and Nehemiah instruct the people not to weep, but instead, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We Christian readers, too much shaped by St. Paul and even more so by Martin Luther's words about the law, might be surprised to hear that God means the law to be a source of joy, not a dour and passionless legalism. A people who cherishes and follows the law are a people, we are told, who will rejoice. Notice also that joy and justice go together. Ezra and Nehemiah are not talking about the joy of the smug, the indifferent, and the self-satisfied, the joy of those who celebrate at the expense of others. That is no true and authentic joy. Ezra and Nehemiah instruct the people to eat fat, drink sweet wine, and to send portions for those for whom nothing is prepared. In Israel and in the church, justice and joy go together. Why? Why is that? Because the law, at its best, is not a violation of the deepest longings of the human heart. The law marks out the shape of justice, and justice is not justice if it violates rather than heals the human heart. Biblical law seeks to put persons in right relation with themselves and to each other so that persons and communities can flourish. St. Paul reminds us that the law pinches only when it cuts against the grain of self-centered inclinations. So Jewish law is no narrow legalism. The law is the community's true delight. The law restores the frayed bonds of community. The law attends to the needs of those who suffer lack. The law repairs the breach between neighbor and neighbor. Is it any wonder, then, that Jesus the rabbi rightly insists that the whole of the law can be summed up as love of neighbor and love of God? The law's true aim is love, and the sweet taste of love on our lips is joy. Now, here is a matter that calls out for attention. Authentic joy, the real 24-karat deal, not fool's gold, cannot be our frontal and primary aim. If you aim for joy, you will miss it. That is because joy is a byproduct. Joy comes from and accompanies love. Joy is the bloom of a life well lived. Live truly, live justly, live in love, and joy will bloom. Aim at joy directly, and it will pass you by. Trying to have joy without love and justice is like trying to achieve a runner's high without running. Hence the call of Ezra and Nehemiah. By all means, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine. Well, unless you have gout, that is. But don't imagine that joy can be yours if you know that your neighbor goes without. Share and then feast. How sad it is that we live in a society that not only feasts without sharing, but insists that looking after number one is the only true way to live, failing to realize that we are all, as St. Paul has reminded us this morning, members of one body. Sadly, so much of North American neoliberal life is dedicated to the pursuit of counterfeit joys that can be produced on demand. We are a culture invested in the joy of ownership. Sure, buy a thing, small or large, and you'll get a hit of something that feels like joy. That kind of pseudo-joy never lasts. Like any satisfying drug, the dosage will have to be ever increased. And that is one way to tell the difference between counterfeit joy and true joy. Counterfeit joys fade quickly and generate addiction. Authentic joy endures, gladdens the heart, and sets others free. The joy of seeking only the good of me and mine, regardless of the cost to others and the natural world, that kind of joy is easily procured but quickly fleeting. Real joy is heartier. It can be found even in the grayest of days. It endures and emerges not when it's sought, but when justice motivated by love is sought. Remember, Ezra and Nehemiah tell us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Not the joy of ownership, nor the joy of a counterfeit belonging to whiteness that marginalizes the indigenous or the immigrant other. Not the joy of status, control, or coercion. Shallow counterfeit joys can be produced on demand, but authentic joy is not fluffy. The real McCoy cannot be had on the cheap. It is always the fruit of justice seeking. The joy of the Lord is the bloom on the shoot of the beloved community. We come now to the question that I suspect is on all our hearts and minds. Do we dare eat fat and drink sweet wine in such times? The answer to that question is an absolute and unequivocal yes. Refuse to listen to those who suggest that Christian life must be a dour and joyless affair because the days are dark. Be suspicious of those whose ethical drive insists that our emotional lives must be marked by nothing but anger and perpetual outrage. There is no strength in that self-depleting way. On the contrary, we will find genuine strength only in the joy of the Lord. But how? How are Christians to pursue joy? The answer is straightforward, though not simple. As disciples of Jesus, if that is indeed what we truly aspire to be, we must adopt the mission statement of our Master. And what is our Master's mission statement? We heard it read this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Pursue that program of justice, and joy will be ours. Pursue justice-shaped love, and joy will arise. Call for mercy, even with a quavering voice, before those who know only the way of coercion, and joy will be yours. Speak on behalf of LGBTQIA2 Spirit Plus communities, and joy will be yours. contest those who blame America or Canada's problems on migrant communities, and joy will be yours. Be, in Martin Luther King Jr.'s words, a drum major for justice, and a deep and unquenchable joy will be yours. Why? Because the heart's proper rhythm is tuned to the frequency of love. Your heart longs for justice, and give your heart what it truly desires, and joy will be yours. My dearest siblings, I have some news for you. God does not want you to be glum. Nor does God want us to pursue joy as though joy were a thing to be acquired and possessed. No, God calls us to pursue what our hearts most long for, and in so doing, find joy on the way. Give your hearts to the work of love, the work our hearts were made for, and a deep, irrevocable, spirit-filled joy will indeed be ours. In Christ's name, amen.